Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon.
This isn't the way it's supposed to be. In the movie Grand Canyon, a man is driving through Los Angeles when he takes a wrong turn and enters a very rough neighborhood where his car stalls. He calls for a tow truck, and while he's waiting in his car for the tow truck, his car is surrounded by members of one of the local street gangs who begin to harass and threaten him. The tow truck shows up and the truck driver begins to hook up the car to take it away, and the gang members turn on the driver, tell him to stop interfering with their fun. And the driver turns to the members of this street gang and he says, "This isn't the way it's supposed to be. I am supposed to be able to do my job without you hassling me. And this man is supposed to be able to wait in his car without you threatening him. Everything that is going on here is not the way it's supposed to be. The world you and I are living in today is not the way it's supposed to be. This is not the kind of world that God designed, that God planned, that God created, that God blessed. As human beings, we have taken God's good gifts and we have corrupted them. We have taken God's good order and we have created disorder. We have taken God's beauty and we have marred it. We have taken this functional creation that He has given to us and we have created a dysfunctional existence for ourselves. Things are not the way they are supposed to be. And there is absolutely nothing that you or I can do about it. And if you question that statement, I simply draw your attention to the hundreds, the thousands of years that human beings have tried to fix the world in which we live, who have tried to make the world the way it is supposed to be, and we have hitherto been unsuccessful, and I doubt that you and I can do any better. Many people have good intentions. Many people try different kinds of things to fix the world in which we live, to make it more like it ought to be. But we have been unable to do so. Different religions have been tried. Philosophies have been espoused. Technology will save us. Education will create a better world. This political system, that political system will finally set things to right. And so far, nothing has worked. And nothing will work because sin, which is at the root of all that is wrong with this world, all that is not as it ought to be, is too strong for you and for me to overcome. Sin is too powerful for us as human beings to be able to restore what it has put into disorder. And so this world that God created, this good and beautiful world, has become a disordered place. But if you and I can't do anything to fix it, we can maybe at the margins try to make things a little bit better, but overall, things are going to continue not to be as they are supposed to be. There is a God who is able to do something about it. And indeed, that God who originally created the world in which we live with a perfect kind of intention for us to live in relationship with Him and in relationship with each other and to enjoy all the goodness and bounty that He has created for us, that God has a plan in place to deal with the disorder. That God has put His plan into motion through His Son, Jesus Christ, who, as we learn today, the first Sunday of Advent, the first Sunday of awaiting the revelation of the coming of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who will put things into right once again, is a God who comes to us through His Word, and He said, "Let me share my plan with you for what I intend to do in my world and in the lives of those who are willing to turn to me and allow me to bring order to their personal disorder." I invite you to turn with me today to the 12th chapter of Matthew. It's a passage that those of you here in the sanctuary will find in your bulletin. If you have your Bibles at home, we're in Matthew chapter 5, verses 18 through 21. And I know the words will be up here on the screen behind me. In these verses, Matthew is quoting from Isaiah chapter 42. And these are the words that God speaks through His prophet Isaiah. "Look at my servant, whom I have chosen. He is my beloved who pleases me. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not fight or shout or raise his voice in public. He will not crush the weakest reed or put out a flickering candle. Finally, he will cause justice to be victorious, and his name will be the hope of all the world." Here is my beloved, says God. Here is the one that I have chosen. He is my servant. And he, God says, will proclaim justice. And this servant, this beloved, this chosen one of God upon whom the Spirit of God rests is Jesus the Christ, born in the town of Bethlehem some 2,000 years ago. And as the prophecy says, and as the ministry of Jesus attests to, as we read it in the Gospels, in God's Word, He came to proclaim justice. What is justice? It's a very popular word in our world today, especially here in America, and many people have many ideas about justice and what it is and how it is to be accomplished. But this is biblical justice we are talking about here. This is God's justice. And the justice of God is to bring order to what has been disordered, to bring healing to what has been injured and damaged. to bring goodness to that which is evil, to bring hope to the hopeless, to bring faith to the faithless, to bring about God's good, perfect, and pleasing will in your life and in my life, and ultimately in all of creation, which groans, as the Apostle Paul says, in anticipation of that day when it will be restored. That is justice in the Bible. And Jesus is going to come, says Isaiah, and Jesus has come, speak the Gospels and the New Testament to proclaim justice, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, as Jesus says in Luke chapter 4, to release the prisoner, to bring sight to the blind, to strengthen the weak and the oppressed. For all who live in a disordered world where things are not the way they are supposed to be, God has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to proclaim justice. God is at work bringing order. And these words of Isaiah that Matthew repeats are not just words that speak of what Jesus will do, the one who comes as the servant of God. It also says how Jesus will bring about justice, for He will accomplish what He proclaims, says the prophet. Justice will be victorious. The order of God will be restored. The disorder of the world, the strength and power of Satan, the ultimate power in the world, which is death, will not ultimately be victorious. Justice will be victorious. And how will this happen? The one who is to come, says Isaiah, will not crush the weakest reed, nor will He put out the flickering candle. That is the way in which the servant comes. That is the way in which justice will be proclaimed, and justice will be victorious. The weakest reed, the flickering candle, are illustrations used in Isaiah to speak of you and of me. You and I are the weak reed. We are the flickering candle to whom the Redeemer comes to restore. Picture, if you will, reeds standing proudly beside a river bank. And reeds are tall, and they're strong, and they're resilient. And this may have been you in your life at one time. It may be you today. You feel good. You feel strong. Maybe everything isn't perfect in the world, but you're doing just fine. Or you might be more like the picture of the weakened reed. Something has happened to cause damage to the reed. Picture it. It is bent over. It is weak. It is barely hanging in there, because there has been disorder that has been brought to its world. Just this past week, I had several conversations with people who are very important to me. Might be conversations like you have had recently. Perhaps some of these kinds of conversations apply to your life today. I spoke with a dear member of this church who had received about the worst kind of news that a person can receive from the medical doctor. I spoke with another person whose marriage is struggling mightily, and they're discouraged, and they don't see a way out, a way to bring order to a disordered relationship. I spoke with yet another person who told me that for quite a while that they have really been struggling financially, and now just recently they have encountered a major repair that is needed and they don't have the money for it. Damaged reeds, weakened by the disorder in the world, weakened because things are not the way they are supposed to be. We're supposed to receive good news about our health. We're supposed to live in loving relationship with our spouse. We are supposed to have what we need to sustain our life day to day. And yet for many of us, that is not the reality today. We are weakened reeds. And the servant of God comes to us. And we wonder, God, why is this happening to me? Why is this a part of my life? Do you no longer care? Are you no longer in charge? We feel perhaps that we have done something to displease God. We wonder, will God even hear our prayer? What is God going to do with our weakened reed lives? And the promise of Isaiah is this, that the Redeemer Jesus Christ has not come to crush us. He has not come to point a finger at us and to say, hey, you really screwed up, didn't you? He's not here to tell us, you know, there's a lot of sin in the world. You need to work harder to overcome it. You need to pick yourself up by your bootstraps. If you're weak, hey, buck up, buddy. He is not here to crush us in a time of pain and hurt and loss. He is here to restore us. He is here to strengthen us. He is here to bring us the good news that God has not abandoned us and that He has promised that He will restore. It may happen soon. It may take a while. It certainly will not be completed restoration until that glorious day when He returns. But it is God's promise that He is here to rebuild, to restore, and to regenerate in our lives into all eternity that good and right and ordered world that He originally created for us in which to live. Jesus said 2,000 years ago, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The world today may not know your pain, but Jesus Christ does. And He speaks those words to you and to me today, because He will not crush the weakened reed. And similarly, the image in Isaiah of the flickering candle, the candle that is just barely hanging in there, buffeted by the winds of the world in which we live, Jesus is not going to put out that flickering candle. Perhaps this is an image that speaks of your faith. Perhaps there was a day in your life that your faith was strong, your candle was bright for the Lord. You felt you had the world by the tail. There's nothing at all that could cause you to doubt God's goodness and God's love, and that one day you get to go to heaven, and being a Christian was the best thing you could imagine. Perhaps today, your faith is barely flickering. Just a weak little flame. Because life has worn you down. There are just too many things in your life that are not the way they're supposed to be, and it's just so hard. And it's just so discouraging, and it's just so frustrating to deal with it day after day after day, and you are barely hanging in there. And here comes the servant, the beloved one of God, the chosen one who has the Spirit upon him, and he has not come to put out your flame. He has not come to condemn you for your weak, sputtering faith. He has come to restore it. He has come to build back up within you a strong, vibrant fire for the Lord. He has come to bring you what your heavenly Father desires more than anything else, which is to have a daily relationship between himself and you that is confident, that is strong, that is hopeful. Not hope because you look around at the world in which you live and you can somehow picture everything somehow getting better because after all, we as human beings are working really hard to make it so. No, it is hope because Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. He is the hope of your life and my life. If we place our confidence in him. Hope looks at the world and sees that so many things are not the way they're supposed to be, but hope does not become discouraged. Hope does not quit. Hope does not give up. Hope keeps on going because there is a God who can make it the way it is supposed to be, and not only can he, but he will. That is the promise of his Son, Jesus Christ, whose advent we are celebrating, whose birth we will celebrate in a few weeks, and whose reality is here with us today, for he is the one who lives, having been crucified on the cross so that your sin and my sin may be forgiven. He rose again from the dead. He is not a hope that is simply an idea. He is a hope that is a reality. It is a power that is able to overcome all that is not right in the world in which we live. Today is the day to answer the prophecy of Isaiah and to say, my hope is in the Lord. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, your word comes to us, even though it was written 2,600 years, it is so appropriate for today. Isaiah wrote it in the midst of the discouragement and the fear and the anger and the anxiety of his day, but Lord, we have all of that today as well. Some of us feel it very personally in our lives. We have particular things going on that are causing us to feel like weak reeds, like flickering candles. For others of us, it is more of a general sense that while things may not be that bad in my personal life, there's still so much that is wrong in the world, so much that is not going well. so much perhaps that if it doesn't actually frighten us, it certainly concerns us. Father, as we celebrate You this day, as we affirm once again the coming of Your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the hope of the world, may He be our hope today. May we turn our eyes to Him, and may we recognize in Him the One who is able to bring order to all that is disordered, to make right all that is wrong, to heal all that is sick. Father, things are not as they are supposed to be, but in You, they will be. Amen.